Krishani, welcome back to Full Story.
Thanks, Noah.
Deposed Liberal leader Susan Lee had promised to make this review public, but never did. Who decided to keep it secret and why?
So there's a few factors at play here. Essentially, it was the Federal Party executive that decided that this shouldn't be made public. And when you start reading it, you can sort of see why. It's particularly brutal. This review that we've got here was supposed to be given to the federal executive on the 22nd of December. Just before that, a copy had been given to Peter Dutton. He was very unhappy, as we understand it, with what the report says. It's particularly scathing of him. It goes into a lot of detail about why he wasn't liked, some of the issues within the campaign, the things that he was responsible for. So he sought to change a lot of the things that were in the review that was written by Prue Goward and Nick Minchin. So that's the original copy that we have that was leaked, that's been tabled and made public now. And then there was this sort of amended review that is still secret, that we don't have a copy of, that had some of the changes in it, but it was still decided by the federal executives not to make it public. But the way that this kind of came out has been really interesting. So since the review was done in December, there were sort of a few like little leaks that came out, but everything literally came to a head yesterday. From what I was told, it started appearing in Liberal group chats. So it had been circulated very, very tightly before yesterday. And then suddenly yesterday it started to explode.
Yeah, Krishani, it has backfired spectacularly, this attempt to keep it secret. What do you think motivated people to leak it?
I think there is a lot of frustration within the party, not just amongst MPs and senators, but particularly other people who were involved with the campaign. In an effort to sort of build up transparency, people that felt aggrieved, all sorts of reasons. But yeah, it was just sort of quite interesting to see how it sort of slowly kind of trickled out and then suddenly awash everywhere. So I received a copy of it in the morning shortly after Labor's housing minister, Claire O'Neill, was out saying that she'd spent time reading the review. I was in the House during question time yesterday when Anthony Albanese literally held the report up and then tabled it. He was like, you know, the Liberal Party's not doing this, so I will. It was interesting in a way, the reaction from the opposition benches. QT yesterday had been quite animated at times, but that was a moment where there was a bit of jeering from Labor, but not so much from the Liberal Party, a little bit more of a subdued reaction. But, I mean, it's kind of funny. This morning, Andrew Hastie called it a boss move on RN, and other people within the party have told me that, you know, even if it was via Labor, it's sort of good that it's out now for everyone to see. So an interesting reaction.
Okay, so the Prime Minister, he tabled it in Parliament this week, and we know, as you've mentioned, that Peter Dutton didn't want it to be made public. He even threatened legal action because it makes some pretty blunt findings about his role. What does it say?
So it calls him grim, unappealing or unattractive to women, female voters. It puts a lot of the blame on him around the tactics. So rather than what normally happens is that the base of the party who are at the HQ have a role in coming up with the tactics of the campaign and working with the leader themselves in terms of where the campaign should go, the motivations of the policies, all of that. There was a real breakdown between the party's director and Peter Dutton, and Peter Dutton cops a fair bit of the blame for that. So essentially what it says is that he then ended up freelancing as both the leader but also the tactician of the party, the person that was calling all the shots, and then, you know, more criticism that he and his senior advisors didn't take other MPs, senators particularly, seriously. They were dismissed. They weren't listened to. So there's all of that. And then also there was the Trump factor. So after Donald Trump was elected to the US presidency in November, there was a kind of immediate positivity, you might say, within the Liberal Party that this would see an increase or an uprise in popularity within conservative parties that might extend to Australia. I remember like early last year, Peter Dutton was calling Donald Trump a deal maker on his pretty shocking and controversial plans in Gaza. And then suddenly the tides really started to turn. The report says that the view amongst the Australian public around Trump quickly soured, and that had a really big impact on Peter Dutton, who had kind of centred some of the moves and the policies around what the US was doing. So things like establishing a government efficiency role within his shadow cabinet, which could be directly sort of linked to the DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency in the US, moves to sack public servants in Australia, also directly linked to that. Peter Dutton was called quite unkindly by one of the Liberal candidates, a Timo Trump. So he wasn't really then able to shake off that association, and particularly when it came to things like the tariffs, where the Australian public were like quite concerned about what the US administration was doing, he wasn't able to shake off that similarity between himself and Trump, and that made his polling worse as well.
I thought it was interesting. One state director who wasn't named described him as being captain, coach and ball boy of the campaign. What about the policies, Krishani? Nuclear was one of the big policies offered up by the coalition. How much was the party's policy offering or lack thereof a problem for them?
Yeah, I mean, the review calls it a pretty significant problem in that policies like nuclear, which apparently they say had an extensive amount of research done while Scott Morrison was the leader, but they didn't bring it out in the correct way. So they came out and instead of socialising it with the public, came out with this policy, couldn't really talk around it, left the costings of it far too late, which allowed Labor to fill the gap and, you know, talk about the $600 billion price tag that it would have. And then that drove the narrative around nuclear rather than anything else. There's a lot of criticism of Peter Dutton and his executive team around policy here, reports from other ministers who had written policies, given them to Peter Dutton, they were ready to go. They were left on the table, untouched, gathering dust. And then, of course, you have things like the work from home policy that was a disaster, a lot of criticism for that. So, yeah, essentially it was that there wasn't enough policy offering, that his own shadow cabinet weren't listened to because they had policies to put out there and weren't able to. And then some of the policies that they did put out, like nuclear, like work from home, just didn't work at all for the public.
Angus Taylor and Jane Hume now lead the party, and they played some key roles in some of those policies that you mentioned. Did the review reflect or comment on their role?
There are criticisms of Jane Hume in there, particularly around her comments on Chinese spies that was extremely damaging, particularly for those Chinese communities that were in part attributed to the loss of seats like Menzies, which was held by moderate Keith Wallahan. In terms of the policies themselves, there is criticism, of course, of the work from home policy that Hume was a central part of. The review even says that memories are kind of mixed as to who ended up approving that policy as well, which I thought was really interesting. Angus Taylor as well, who was shadow treasurer at the time, promised to revoke Labor's tax cuts, which he has since apologised for. It was one of the first things that he did. So it wasn't really a big surprise to see it in the report here as a key failing during that campaign. But there isn't a lot of other kind of direct criticism of Jane Hume and Angus Taylor, which I think is interesting. A lot of it really is focused on Peter Dutton, but also the issues around the polling and relationships with women, particularly the multicultural community as well.
Well, let's talk about that, because the review says the party's capacity to thoughtlessly offend groups, including the Chinese, was a widespread problem, and that multicultural communities were used rather than brought on board. It calls for genuine engagement with young people, women, multicultural groups who have been alienated by the party. Can you take us through some of what it has said and what people have told the review?
I mean, it's a pretty incredible quote, that, isn't it? I read that and my eyebrows just went through the roof. I mean, really interestingly, one unsuccessful candidate had told the review, they said, the Liberal Party needs to understand Australia as it is and not how we would like it to be. That was quite profound, I thought, in the way that they interpreted the mindset of the party and the way that the party certainly projects itself. There's a big issue, and in part the review kind of alludes to the fact that the party has more of a problem with the multicultural communities around Australia than it already does with the women of Australia, which there's been a lot of time spent on that in itself. In terms of the issue with women too, the fact that it says that there were a lot of high-profile female candidates that ran, that lost, that were in what should have been winnable seats that lost. And so sort of highlighting the fact that even though these women were promoted, the fact that the party couldn't talk to Australian women just still meant that even though they had these, you know, what they said were great candidates, they just couldn't get a foothold in those seats. It talks about the fact that the group Hilma's Network, which was until very recently led by Charlotte Mortlock, that there was distrust, that they weren't brought into the tent, and, you know, said that in the future they should work more closely with Hilma's Network and then the other Liberal women's groups that exist. It says that senior members of the Federal Secretariat, there are no women there either. And so the report reflects on the fact that there are a lot of women within the party who have these great ideas, but when you don't actually have them at the top either and you're not going to listen to them, then that bleeds down and means that you have a party platform and an offering that Australian women aren't really interested in. So it talks to that point. It talks to the fact that groups, particularly it singles out the Chinese community, the Indian community, that just the party was not directly engaging with at all.
In addition to that, Krishani, they were also led astray by polling, weren't they?
Big time. So there were a couple of big issues here. One was that because of the no vote at the referendum, there was this big assumption by a lot of people within the party that whoever voted no in the referendum would then be voting Liberal. So they kind of put the maps of that no vote, transposed them onto another electoral map and just said, we should be able to win all of these seats over here. So that inspired a sense of confidence that just did not transpire at all. Another issue was the fact that they only used one polling group, which was Freshwater Polling. That was the same polling group that the Nationals used as well, whereas the Labor Party uses multiple polling groups, and so they have a much broader selection, and it just reduces risk, the review argues. And then on top of that fact, because as we talked about earlier, Peter Dutton wasn't actually talking to his own campaign headquarters, he wasn't taking their advice, he ended up actually speaking on the phone constantly to Mike Turner, who leads Freshwater Polling, and taking advice from him and consulting him, even though he's not like a political consultant or a political head, he does polling. And so all of that kind of meant that altogether there was just this huge gap. I mean, the polling is fascinating. In the week before the election, Freshwater was polling in the seat of Banks, which had been a Liberal stronghold for a while, that it would go 62-38 in the Liberals' direction. It was won by Labor. There was a huge swing against it. So the numbers were wrong, the assumptions were wrong, and then this relationship between Dutton and Turner as well also just really led them astray.
We'll be right back.